Hello, everyone. Happy Monday again. If you're joining us again from the live stream that we just had to stop, we're just going to start completely over. So I'm Pastor Heather Perdue. This is Pastor Aaron Perdue, my wonderful husband, and we are pastoring at Charis Christian Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And we started this podcast because we wanted to be able to reach out to our online community and just really connect with you guys, because we realize that there are people that connect with our church from all over the world, all over this country. And we just thought it was really important to be able to interact with you guys. So
be sure if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, you can leave a comment, questions as well. If we can answer the questions, we will. But yeah, tell us where you're watching from. I see Luz is watching from Cleveland, Ohio. So it's nice to see someone from Cleveland. I've been to Cleveland.
I spent some time in Cleveland too.
Yeah, I've been there a few times. I played at Severance Hall. It's one of the most beautiful concert halls in the country.
What did you play there? Because some people might not know.
I play the flute. I have a background in classical music. So I went to college in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which is just a 3-hour drive from Cleveland. But the orchestra, the college orchestra I was with at Carnegie Mellon, we did a concert there in Cleveland. Mm. And I remember I played principal flute on Hindemith, Matthias Dermaler, a really cool piece. But I got to play there at Severance Hall. And growing up, my favorite recordings were of the Cleveland Orchestra, conducted by George Zell. It was one of the most famous orchestras in the middle 1900s, and they recorded a lot of the Beethoven symphonies. That's what they were known for. So I have loved those recordings. So it was really cool to be there in Cleveland and play in that same concert hall. And I have some friends that actually play in the Cleveland Orchestra today. So very cool to see people from Cleveland.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Joni is here in Colorado Springs. Mm-hmm. And Quinetta.
Hey, Quinetta.
I think she's watching from the Springs as well. We love Quinetta.
Huge blessing.
Yeah, a lot of awesome people. So yeah, be sure
to... I'm forgetting something.
I don't know.
Maybe not. Be sure to...
Leave comments, if you're on Facebook, on YouTube. And also if you're watching this later on after the fact, you're welcome to leave comments as well. We ourselves and our team check those comments and try to... interact with people. So it's great to see you all today. And I like the subject you have in store for us today.
I like this subject too, because the Christian life is not supposed to feel, it's not supposed to feel hard and difficult and just overwhelming, you know? And I know as a mom that's in ministry, a wife also, just everything is vying for your attention all the time. Your kids, your husband, the world, just everything. And at times we can be right in the middle of what God's called us to do and feel so overwhelmed and so just short and inadequate and just exhausted, really. And I feel like so this is a topic that I have just been studying out for myself, and I've known about for a long time, but I always have to go back to, because I feel like this is such a foundational topic. And I'm sure you would agree with me on that one. But so the title is Feeling Behind in Life. And these are two shifts to get ahead with God. And these are two things that I evaluate about myself whenever I'm feeling overwhelmed, anxious, like I'm in a rush, like I don't measure up, like I don't have enough time to get everything done that I need to get done. But a life of rest is my ultimate goal. That's we were just talking earlier. Well, I think we were talking last night, and we were just talking about like how easy it is to start comparing ourselves to other people. The ministry that we're involved in to other ministries, just us as pastors, we compare ourselves to other pastors. We compare ourselves as moms to other moms, as dad to other dads, as husbands to other husbands. And what a rat race that is. And it shouldn't be like that. And that completely robs your peace, doesn't it? It's awful. And God's called us to a life of rest. But what does that look like? You know? Have you ever thought about that?
Even God himself rested.
Yeah,
you know?
He did.
And I don't think, you know, we should get religious about the Sabbath.
No.
Some people make it a work unto itself. But it is important to have peace in life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, priorities are so important with time. Time is such an important resource because it's very limited. Mm-hmm. And even scripturally, you know, we're promised a certain amount of time. You know, some scripture talks about 70 or 80 years. Even one verse talks about living to 120. Mm-hmm. And there are several people who live to that age. But at the same time, it talks about our time here on earth being just like a vapor, just something that is extremely short, but also extremely valuable.
Yeah.
Like there are certain things in the scope of eternity that we can only do here on this earth with the limited time that we have here. Mm-hmm. And there is no exact guarantee to our time here either.
Yeah.
So it's really important to prioritize things. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing the enemy tries to do with believers is just get people in a rat race.
Yeah.
Just kind of a constant rat race, just spinning around and not really accomplishing what God has for them, or just settling into the peace that he has mm-hmm. planned for them. And you know, Jesus, he is our Prince of Peace, but,
yeah.
you know, life with him isn't supposed to be just this constant struggle, constant trying to catch up, constant. You know, I think it's the enemy that really tries to distract people, and especially in today's modern age. You know, one prophecy that Daniel talks about, Daniel, one of my favorite prophetic books. I was talking to a friend recently about the prophecy of weeks in Daniel 9, and you know, in Daniel 9, towards the end of that chapter, Daniel actually prophesies the exact year that the Messiah would be cut off. And he says that there will be a decree that the temple, Jerusalem, is to be rebuilt. And from that decree, he talks about weeks. A week is a seven, like a score is 20. So a week isn't 7 days, but actually 7 years. And if you add up the weeks, it's 483 years from when that decree would be made. And the decree historically was made in 450 BC that Jerusalem would be rebuilt. And so 483 years from 450 BC puts you right at 33 AD. And that's when Jesus was cut off. He was stricken. Mm-hmm. And you know, Daniel is so incredibly specific with his prophecies and incredibly accurate. You know, that one prophecy to me, there's no way that could be.
Yeah.
You know, it's the real deal. The Bible is completely real. But Daniel talks about in the last days that people will just be running to and fro. They'll be going to and fro. Mm-hmm. Just think about people, you know, geographically can travel a lot, travel very easily, but people are just running around.
Yeah.
To and fro.
Yeah.
And not really settling in.
Yeah. And really what got me thinking about this was, I always think about this when somebody dies. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times that's when it really sinks up into us that we have somebody here watching from Pakistan. That's awesome. Thanks for being here. We don't need to wait until we get to the end of our life and think, what did I do with my life? Mm-hmm. You know? And we also don't need to compare and think that success for us is going to look like success for the next person mm-hmm. because that breeds discontentment. Mm-hmm. But Matthew 11:28-30 says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I love, so that's the ultimate, that's what Jesus wants for us. Mm-hmm. He wants us to have an easy, restful life mm-hmm. because he's gentle mm-hmm. and his burden is light, mm-hmm. you know? And I was thinking about this too. The word busy can also be an acronym for being under Satan's yoke. Mm-hmm. And I think about that all the time. Like how... there's a difference between being busy versus working hard and seeing the fruit of what you've accomplished. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about this a lot, how you like to do yard work because you start it, you finish it, and you set back and you can see all the progress that you made mm-hmm. and you can see everything that you did and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And you've accomplished something. There was a beginning and there was an end, mm-hmm. you know. But it's not good when we feel like we're rushing, we're running out of time, we're never going to get everything done that we need to get done. And then we just spend all day spinning our wheels and we don't get anywhere. That's a curse.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's part of the curse that was spoken in the garden.
Yeah.
That God spoke that you'd work, but like rather than have fruit, you just have thorns.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, in today's, you know, society, people don't do so much agricultural work, but people do a lot of things, but they're not really producing things that are meaningful and fruitful. They're just producing thorns.
Yeah.
And just going on and thorns again and going on and thorns. People kind of run around, you know, just bouncing around all the time without really settling in and being productive and being fruitful. And it takes time to really be fruitful.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time to really cultivate things, to really get rooted and accomplish what God has called you to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually mentioned this to a few people on staff before, but really it takes 4 or 5 years of being consistent and being planted and working at something to have fruit that's meaningful.
You know, when Solomon started building the temple, 4 years into his reign.
Hmm.
Did you know that?
I didn't know that. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
And we have several people on staff who've just kind of entered their fourth or fifth year here. And I saw this in one of the laws in Leviticus. So when the Israelites, you know, planted vineyards for the first 3 years, whatever those vineyards and orchards produced, they weren't allowed to take the fruit of it.
Yeah.
And the fourth year, they could take the fruit, but it was given as an offering to God.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a first fruit offering. And then the fifth year was the first time that they could, you know, eat the fruit themselves. But the first 3 years, like the fruit didn't really count. It ain't no count.
It ain't no count.
As they say in the South. It's a Southern ism I learned from Pastor Heather a few years into our marriage. It ain't no count.
It ain't no count.
So for the few
years. That means
first
it's not
years,
good for you guys that have no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah, and a lot of things with God are kind of like that. Like some things are very instant, but many things, it's after 4 or 5 years, several years, where you start seeing the fruit, you start seeing the results of doing what God has called you to do.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't even make it past 3 years. You know, and oftentimes the enemy tries to put a big roadblock in people's way right around the end of 3 years.
Uh-huh.
And I've noticed this a lot of times where people are
like
doing
some
something.
Kind of
they're kind of plugged in, offense or just distraction.
Yeah, or sometimes like they're settling into their, you know, role, whether that be like on staff or just in the church, their church role, they're getting comfortable,
mm-hmm.
and they're starting to think, I know what I'm doing. And then when correction comes along or just an idea that's not theirs,
mm-hmm.
it's like a huge deal, and it's not a huge deal, you know?
Yeah, offense, sometimes it's just like something, another
minute.
Opportunity, but
oh,
maybe
yeah.
it's not really what you should be doing.
Like it's
but
a
it's
good
just,
idea, but maybe not.
And it just
idea.
Seems very flashy. You know, everything
yeah.
that sparkles
isn't made of gold.
Isn't gold.
That's right.
So it's really important to hear from God yourself and not just get sucked into this hamster wheel.
Yeah. And
of running around being busy, but not really going anywhere or accomplishing
yeah.
things.
And we all have a tendency to fall into the trap. And that's like where this whole topic came from, is I was starting to feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what am I even doing? Like, I'm running around. I know you moms know what I'm talking about. Like, you're running around your house doing stuff all day, but you still have a huge pile of laundry on your couch. You still have dishes in the sink. You still have unanswered emails. You've got all these emails from school that you haven't even read yet. You've got emails from your kid's teacher telling you about what's going on this month in their class. And you just feel like, what in the heck is going on? Like, I can't even keep my head above the water. Well, these are two shifts that you can make to get ahead with God, because God wants you to be the head and not the tail, right? And what it is, the first thing, number one, is rest. Prioritize time with Jesus every day, even when you don't think you have time.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I don't think I have time, I make time. Mm-hmm. This morning I woke up late because I stayed up late. Thank you, Pastor Aaron, Mr. Night Owl. So I usually wake up at 4:30. I woke up at 5:30 this morning. I go downstairs and Ada is asleep in the laundry room with the dogs. She slept in the laundry room with the dogs, guys. I'm not even joking. And the morning is like my time. That's not the time I want to be dealing with getting my girl some more juice and getting her back up in her bed. This is like, you know, not the time for that. But anyway, so I go downstairs, let the dogs out. Ada's in the laundry room with the dogs, with her blanket on the dog bed asleep. So I get her back up. I had 15 minutes before I needed to be outside on my walk. And I was like, you know what I have to do in this 15 minutes? I have got to sit down and spend time with the Lord. Because if I don't, it doesn't matter what I do all day. I'm going to be spinning my wheels and I'm not going to get anywhere. And so I sat down and I started reading through Hebrews because I love Hebrews. But I got to Hebrews 4:11. It says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience or unbelief," is what the King James Version says. So we have to be diligent to enter in to the place of rest that Jesus has prepared for us. Mm-hmm. We have to be diligent. You know what it takes to be diligent.
Yeah, and when you, there's always a lot of things going, a lot of wheels spinning, but when you set aside time with God, it kind of takes you out of that wheel, you out of the hamster wheel, where you can kind of get reoriented.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a freshman.
Collaborated or something.
I remember when I was a freshman in college, I'd read my Bible every day. I went to church every Sunday. It took me an hour and a half to get to church on Sundays. I had to take two buses to get there, and someone from church would always drive me back. Mm-hmm. But some of my friends, you know, who weren't believers found out that I, you know, spent 30 minutes a day reading my Bible. I don't think I talked about it a lot, but they had a roommate who was a music major also, and he might have told some other friends that, you know, he saw me reading my Bible mm-hmm. every morning and you know, every Sunday when everyone's still sleeping in and whatever, I'd be
from there
on the way
out
to church.
Not
yeah. But I remember a friend of mine who was also a flute music major asked, like, how do you even have time to do that?
Yeah.
But I remember she was like trying to join a sorority, and like there are different things they had to do for to be in a sorority or fraternity, like I thought was just a huge waste of time. Like they and it's really neat what they would do, but at Carnegie Mellon they have something called these buggy races. They'd make these buggies and like
a soapbox car,
yeah,
kind of thing?
Yeah, and they'd race them, and they do it once a year, but like it's a huge thing. They usually get like engineering students to design it, and
they
pick the really short girls to be the drivers, and you know, athletes to push them. There's like uphill parts where you have to push it uphill, but you know, like the time that goes into these things, it's insane. And I, you know, and she's like, "How do you have time to
read your Bible?"
Yeah, I'm like, "Well, I'm not trying to join a fraternity, so that saves me, you know, 20 hours a week, right there."
Yeah.
And
well, you know why you have time is because you were taught to have time, and this is a whole nother topic for a whole nother podcast, but I'm going to touch on it. Like, some people think that, you know, when you're okay, so I grew up in the South. We all know this. I grew up eating mashed potatoes, fried chicken, collard greens. Like collard greens. We went to Disney World and Disneyland, and I had collard greens at Disneyland.
I almost got some.
And
for
I'm
lunch
like,
today.
Why is nobody eating these things? They are awesome. But you know what? I was fed those when I was young, and therefore mm-hmm. I love them. Mm-hmm. You have to help your kids. You have to give your kids a spiritual diet. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, when they grow up, they're only going to go for the junk. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, we need to do that, naturally speaking, with our kids and give them better food. But we have to, you were taught that. You were taught that peace comes with the Word. Mm-hmm. Peace comes by spending time with Jesus, mm-hmm. you know? So therefore, you have a hunger for that. Mm-hmm. You have a craving for that. But people that aren't taught that don't know. But that's why we're here. Because mm-hmm. we're wanting to teach you guys that you can have a craving for the right type of thing.
And I love too that Jesus said, "My yoke is easy."
Yes.
That's such a great word, easy. If things are feeling hard constantly, it might not be a God thing.
It's not a God thing. It is not no mites. You can just take the mite out. But
yeah.
It's not a God thing if it's hard. So,
and you can tell, like, it doesn't mean that just you float through life. Like, you should be diligent. Oh,
but there's just, like, this indescribable peace. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That gets you through hard things. Like, you might be going through something extremely difficult, but there is, like, a peace that's there.
Yeah.
You know?
I think a lot of times we make life a lot harder than it has to be.
Oh, of course we do.
You know, we work at our marriage and spend time together, and you know, but it's not hard to make our marriage work.
Well, the reason why it's not hard for us is because we all both prioritize our relationship with God apart from one another on our own. Mm-hmm. Like, we're constantly growing with the Lord. Mm-hmm. So therefore, that's going to overflow into our relationships, mm-hmm. whether it be our, you know, spouse or your kids. But so even when I don't make time, even when I don't think I have time, I will make time. Mm-hmm. And I love what Psalm 90:14 says. That's a great word. Skills and habits need to be taught. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great.
Too many adults. Yeah. Psalm 90:12 says, "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Mm-hmm. I love that. Teach us to number our days. Like, how many days? We've been living a lot of days. Like, I'm 41 years old, but what is that? Times 365. I'm going to look it up. That's a lot of days. Times, I'm not 40 anymore. I'm 41. That's 14,965 days. And how many of those were wasted days? I don't know, probably a lot. But God redeems the time. But so how do we number our days? How can we be taught to number our days? Well, the answer is in Psalm 90:14. Satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Satisfy us with your mercy. Mm-hmm. And the word mercy there is hesed, which is actually grace. And we know that Jesus is grace and truth, mm-hmm. right? So we can number our days. We can make every single day count by spending time with Jesus first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I love studying that word hesed, which mm-hmm. is the word Hebrew word for grace. It's this, you know, the counterpart in the New Testament is charis.
Yeah.
But you really need God's grace in life, and you need His grace and His mercy.
Truly.
Every day, you know, His mercies, His hesed is new every day. Mm-hmm. And you need that every day. You need to tap into His grace every day too.
Yeah.
You know, grace, I remember several years ago, I did a big study on grace and just what it does in our life. But first, and people don't really understand this. And you kind of see where certain Christians focus on one aspect of grace, but neglect the other aspects of grace and what it does in our life. So the first thing that grace does is that it frees you.
Yes, it does.
And you need to be set free.
Every day.
Every day. So grace frees you. Secondly, grace transforms you. It makes you something new. And it brings new things into your life. And lastly, grace empowers you. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people understand that grace frees us. They understand, like, my sins are forgiven, but they don't understand that they've been transformed.
No, they have.
They still
no
identify as a sinner, yeah. or as, you know, I'm a problematic person. That they don't understand that they have a new identity.
Right.
And they have a hard time accepting their new identity because they don't understand there is a power for that new identity. They're like, it's not your ability. It's not mm-hmm. your skill. It's not your goodness, but it's God's grace that empowers you. So grace, first of all, frees you.
Yeah.
It transforms you and it empowers you. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people just look at the one aspect of grace.
Yeah.
The Bible actually talks about how grace, it's a many-sided, manifold. Mm-hmm. Manifold. It's been
it's
like
is
folded
a manifold
over.
Grace of God is what the Bible says.
Yeah. And
multifaceted.
Aspect, and you can actually grow in grace. You know, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. You can actually grow in it. And it's important to understand that multifaceted aspect.
Yeah, so you have to decide to dedicate some of your day to the Lord every single day, but you also have to be careful what you are feeding on. Mm-hmm. Like it has to be mercy. Mm-hmm. It has to be grace. It has to be Jesus. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we can watch a lot of different Christian things, but the theology can be completely whack. And it can be theologically based like in a works mentality. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to give you power. Mm-hmm. That's going to put you back into the trap that you're trying to get out of, mm-hmm. you know?
And
it makes a difference. And I will say this one more thing. At Charis Christian Center on our YouTube channel, we have tons and tons and tons and tons of teaching, tons of, I always forget this word, product, resources, books. We have all types of mercy, grace-focused teaching that you can feed on every single day. Mm. Like out, if you need help understanding the Bible, you know. Mm-hmm. Like there's no excuse, really. Mm-hmm. But you definitely want to make sure that you are meditating and spending time on the Lord, on His mercy, on His grace. Because mm-hmm. you don't want to be defeating the purpose of, you know.
That's very true. And
spending time.
Yeah, his grace really sets us free from the curse.
Yeah, it does.
And it empowers us to be productive and not just be in these like time suck situations and mentalities. And I was thinking, we were talking about the curse, you know, that was placed on mankind in the garden when they sinned, and that there'd be this curse of unproductivity.
Mm-hmm.
Like you'd work, you'd toil, you'd sweat.
And the ground would produce thorns and thistles.
Yeah, but the blessing is the exact opposite of that. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 8, it says, this says, the Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand, and He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Mm-hmm. So when you understand that God's blessed you, when you're doing what He's called you to do, it doesn't matter specifically what you're doing.
Yeah.
His blessing will be there. And as your hand touches things, it's going to be blessed.
Yeah.
So I was actually just talking to Caleb on staff here. I know he's been watching. Joni's watching. Like right now, he's working really hard at making a redesign for our church website. And I told him I actually did that like 9 years ago.
No.
I was over.
It was awful, wasn't it?
The website. I think that was probably two websites ago.
It's awful when you don't have the grace to be doing that.
But God actually gave me grace to do it.
That's
at
good.
That time. Like I knew I was just supposed to be here helping at the church however I could. So I've helped in a lot of different aspects of the church.
Yeah.
And whenever I helped with it, you know, it was blessed because I was setting my hand to it. Some people just obsess about, I do the exact specific thing. Mm-hmm. And if I don't do that exact specific job or live in that exact specific house, that exact specific thing, then I've missed it.
Yeah.
But here, it's like a very all-encompassing type of blessing. And whatever you set your hand to will be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Man, so if I'm going to set my hand to yard work, that's going to be blessed. If I'm going to set my hand to parenting, that's going to be blessed. If I'm going to set my hand to web design, that's going to be blessed. And it, man, God, His blessing makes productivity happen.
Yeah.
Where things happen easier, things just work out more often because His blessing is on there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not just like a hamster spinning this wheel, not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you prioritize God and you put Him first, His direction, You get pulled out of that hamster. Some people work and work and work, and it's like they can't ever get ahead financially,
mm-hmm.
time-wise, relational, like just things don't grow. It's just like they're just stuck.
And what the sad part is that the exit ramp off of that road is right there all along.
Yeah. And they're And sometimes people are blind to those opportunities.
Yeah.
Well, they're
not going to be blind if they're going to watch this because this is going to help them. So Proverbs 3:1-3 says, my son, don't forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you.
Mm-hmm.
Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. But I want to focus on verse 2, which says, for length of days and long life and mm-hmm. peace they will add to you. Length of days. This is what I'm talking about. Like sometimes in the middle of life, it just feels like you can't get ahead.
Mm.
Well, the key is to prioritize your time with the Lord every single day, and He will add length to your days. That mm-hmm. word days there is days.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean long life because it says long life. It's length of days, makes your days longer, and gives you a longer life. Mm-hmm. And to top it all off, you get peace to go along with it. Mm-hmm. Like, that sounds like a pretty good deal to me. So, like, when that girl is saying, how do you have time to read your Bible? Why do you want to live a life of turmoil? That's mm-hmm. the real question. Mm-hmm. I don't want that. And you know what? Sometimes in the middle of we're where we need to be, doing what God's called us to do, we knew we had the grace to build that website yesterday, but today it feels really heavy. Mm-hmm. So then what? Because, you know, just like we're talking about, you have to renew the grace for your life every single day. Mm-hmm. You have to cash in on it every single day. Mm-hmm. You know, every single day that you were helping build that website was not all butterflies and rainbows, was it?
No.
I remember.
Yeah. I think this might have been before you.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't? Okay.
No, sir. I was here. I remember distinctly.
Oh, okay.
He makes it sound like he just enjoyed every single step of that, y'all. He did not. And that's okay.
Blocked some of it from my memory.
I'm sure you did. You know how they say that your mind like blocks trauma from your your memory? I think that's what happened with you. But so here's the thing. How do you deal with going back to those feelings, those negative feelings of feeling overwhelmed, like you're rushing around, not getting anything accomplished? Well, the second key is to be aware all day that the Holy Spirit is with you and he's helping you. Mm-hmm. And he's giving you wisdom and direction, and he's teaching you how to order your day. Mm-hmm. You know, we spend time with the Lord in the morning, but then we have to make sure that we focus on the fact that his presence is with us all day long. It wasn't just for that 30 minutes this morning, you know. Mm-hmm. And some of you are night owls, and that's okay, because early in the morning to you might mean 1 a.m., I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, you're a night owl. Mm-hmm. I'm not. I'm going to bed at 8:30. See you later. But this one, he likes to stay up. I don't know. That's just what you got used to, I guess. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyway, you got to spend time with the Lord, and then you also have to make sure that you are being aware of his presence all day long. And if you have to write a sticky note or on you and put it on you, whatever you got to do to remind yourself. I have been known, I have set alarms on my phone before to remind me of a scripture that I wanted to meditate on all day long, because I'll start out thinking, oh, this is a great scripture, I'm going to meditate on this all day, and then by 10 a.m. I've already forgotten even that I wanted to meditate on something. Mm-hmm. So I'll set an alarm on my phone. Ephesians 5:15 through 18 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, and which is, I was going to say excess, but this says dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit all day long. I'll pray in tongues, like, all day. When I'm at home by myself, I'll be folding laundry, praying in tongues, talking to the Lord. You know, and you can do that while you're doing yard work. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that you do, Aaron? Like, how do you make yourself, like, aware that God's with you all day long? Do you have anything, like, that you can think of that you do?
Yeah, I actually,
like, practically speaking,
I like being outside working in the yard.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm kind of stuck, or feeling stuck, like maybe I need to come up with a message or just hear from God about a difficult situation or have a problem to solve, I'll just work outside for a while. And usually just while I'm doing that, I'll just lock into what God's trying to say to me. And
Yeah.
So that's what I do.
We have a very serious question here that I do not want to pass up. Do you know how to make ideas for video games? totally caught you off guard. Listen, we're not gamers, okay? We don't have anything against gaming, but we're definitely not gamers. But if you need ideas, I would say pray in the spirit. I don't know.
So creativity.
Yeah.
Is something I've been interested in, just how the creative process works. Usually the creative process works because there's a necessity. Like, you have to do something because you're, like, paid to do it or hired to do it. Mm-hmm. Like, just to be creative for no, like, purpose, it's hard. Like, you have to have a job and a purpose for what you're doing. That usually kind of jumpstarts the creative process.
Yeah.
But also, the creative process, usually you don't make something brand new. Like if you study, you know, the development of visual art, ballet, you know, musical art forms, things are just gradual shifts. So a lot of times people think, oh, I have to do something just really out of the box. Even scientific advancement too, it's always just slight changes to something that kind of brings forth a change. It's not like
a
just
big change.
Yeah. So I think it's Picasso said, you know, great artists don't
borrow, they steal.
So like get some ideas from other people who are doing things well and, you know, kind of figure out what they're doing and then make it your own. And that's really how creativity works.
Yeah.
You kind of observe and learn and become an expert at what other people are already doing in that field. And then you kind of make it your own.
Yeah.
And it's a very subtle thing, but it becomes your own. And you can start clicking with that. So that's how the creative process really works.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of wisdom right there for somebody.
Yeah. So... see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time.
Hmm.
So I believe that when we spend time with the Lord, he adds length of days to us, length to our days. And that's how God redeems the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like he works with us
mm-hmm.
in redeeming the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I feel like this is a really good example. You got married when you were... How old?
32.
You were 32. And before you got married, you're the oldest of three boys. Your brother Andrew got married, who was the middle brother, and Peter got married. And by the time you got married, your middle brother already had two kids.
Mm-hmm.
So it sure looks like your brothers were passing you up
mm-hmm.
on the time frame, family frame.
Yeah.
And you really wanted a family. You really wanted to get married and have a family. And so I'm sure it would have been very easy for you to look at your brothers and think, I'm running out of time.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you have other people saying, you are running out of time, you know?
Yeah. I think just try to just hear from God and enjoy where you're at as well and not just constantly comparing yourself.
But what I love, yeah, that's very good advice. But what I love is that when you married me, you became an instant dad.
Mm-hmm.
Bam,
yeah.
you gained a son that was already your middle brother's
Yeah, God's
daughter's
able to work things
age,
out. Yeah,
about.
It's really neat because Fisher is the same age as
Paisley.
Paisley, my niece.
Yeah.
And he's also like the same age as my best friend from high school. Like his oldest kid's the same age as
uh-huh.
Fisher as well. So.
And we have Ada is the same age as one of their other children.
Mm-hmm.
One of their little boys. So God redeems the time, but he's going to work with us.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to work with you. He can't just do things outside of your will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He is sovereign, but he's sovereign in the fact of help me explain this. God's sovereignty.
You keep explaining it. Sorry, I was reading people's comments.
No, you're going to
I missed
tell
your
me.
Thought. Restart your thought.
Okay, so my thought was God's sovereign, but he's going to work with us to redeem the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have a part to play.
Yeah.
Like, we have free will. God's
mm-hmm.
sovereign. He rules. He reigns over everything. But we have a part to play. We have free will.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want God to redeem the time that you've wasted, because we've all wasted time, the way you're going to do that is you're going to prioritize the word, a grace-filled word, every single day. And you're going to live being conscious of the Holy Spirit with you, God with you, his presence with you, helping you. Every single day and every single moment. And he's going to give you wisdom on how to order your days. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I love that because life is not supposed to be hard, but we make it so hard sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's tragic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I look and I kind of mentioned this earlier and then I think I got off track. But, like, in my hometown, there was a girl that I used to do her hair, and her daughter passed away in an ATV accident. She was only 16 years old. You know, guys, we don't have to wait until there's a tragic death in our family or just somebody that we know dies to prompt us to get to thinking about what are we doing with our life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ultimate goal is to know Jesus, to live in communion with God every single day. And then out of that flows all the productivity, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not trying to get focused on all the things that we got to do, and live out of self. Mm-hmm. Like, that's grievous. Mm-hmm. That's not what God wants. That's not a life of peace. So if you're feeling behind in life, you can get ahead. It's not too late. God can redeem the time. What does it say? God's will could be what put you in that situation, but he put you there to handle it. Yes, that's very true.
I think about something that Jesus actually told Saul on the road to Tarsus, that it's hard to kick against the pricks.
It is.
And sometimes when things are just hard, like sometimes it's because you're not doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're kicking against the pricks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and his burden is easy, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, and we have to do some self-reflection sometimes and some evaluating of what am I doing and what could I be doing differently
mm-hmm.
to open the door up for God to bring some peace into my life. Mm-hmm. For me, it was taking all my social media apps off of my phone and putting them on my iPad. And just, they're there. If I want to look at them, I can look at them, but they're not with me all the time, and they're not going to rule and reign my life, and I'm not going to just walk around like a zombie looking at my phone all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's a big deal. Social media is such a trap, and I'm so thankful for it, and I love it. I feel like God put a love for social media in my heart, but I have to watch out sometimes because that can just take over my life,
mm-hmm.
and I'll just be on it constantly. But that's not what he wants. He wants my full attention.
Mm-hmm.
He wants our full attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to share this one last thing, and maybe you can help me with this because I don't have it in the notes. But Samuel told Saul to wait, and he was going to come back and give an offering to the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't. And he didn't wait on Saul. He started rushing himself. And then he made an offering himself to the Lord. And Samuel came back and said, Saul, what have you done?
Mm-hmm.
You were supposed to wait on me,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't. And so, therefore, God's chosen a man after his own heart
mm-hmm.
to be king.
Mm-hmm.
And he stripped away the kingdom from you this day.
Mm-hmm.
This is how important it is not to get busy
mm-hmm.
and not to get rushed and not to try to do everything ourselves, but to wait on the Lord for what he's told us to do
mm-hmm.
and his instruction,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so important.
That's awesome.
It is awesome.
Yeah, and just keep doing what you're supposed to do. I think in today's kind of society, people like to criticize everyone else for what they're doing, criticize, you know, the government, criticize whoever, criticize their neighbors, just criticize other people for what they are or not doing. But
or like if your church isn't doing what this church down the road's doing, then you got to do everything that this church is doing. Like people come to you and they're like, we should do this song on the worship. The worship team needs it. They're not this. These people aren't even on the worship team, but they're like telling you what songs to pick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how about no?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, worry about yourself. Worry about what God's called you to do.
Yeah, you do your job. I'll do my job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that just creates tension and chaos, and it's just not good.
Well, I think sometimes people aren't really doing a good job at what they're supposed to be doing, like taking care of their own life, people close to them, so they want to go and criticize other people, other figureheads.
That's a whole nother topic, probably.
Because it's a way to distract them from their own problems that they need to handle on
yeah,
their own.
I mean, I've been guilty of that. I'm sure you have, too.
Yeah.
I feel like we all kind of get distracted sometimes, but praise God, we're not going to be distracted mm-hmm. anymore.
Amen.
So we're going to implement these two shifts. I know I am.
These are great shifts. I like that a lot.
I think so.
It's really prioritizing your relationship with God. That's the key to everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love my last little note here says, one day lived unaware that Jesus is with us every minute is wasted time.
Hmm.
And if we want God to redeem the lost time, we have to walk circumspectly. Mm. Circumspectly. I cannot say that word today. And that means careful to consider
mm-hmm.
that each day is a gift. And you're a fool if you do not consider each day as important.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how God redeems the time. He works with us.
Mm-hmm.
That's so encouraging to me.
That's great. Yeah, time is such an important resource.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, some people are very good managing finances or managing, you know, relationships, managing their career, managing, but they neglect how important time is.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's important to enjoy.
And that's a shame.
Enjoy time as well.
Well, that's why, like, kind of what got me thinking about this was when we were on vacation and we were having just a really good time. And I just looked at you and I said, you know what? To me, this is success. Mm-hmm. Just being able to live like you're not, you know, it's not about, do I want our church completely full? Yes, I would love that. But am I going to just die and just be miserable if there's not a butt in every single chair in the sanctuary? No, I'm not. Because I know I'm exactly where the Lord wants me to be. And my job is to keep my focus on Him. And He does the work. Mm-hmm. And He wants us to enjoy our life. Because why? There are so many people out there that aren't enjoying our life. And mm-hmm. Jesus came to give life and give it more
abundantly.
Mm-hmm. So.
That's good.
Anyway.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. I see we have a lot of people who've been tuning in. I like seeing that. Dakota.
Hey, Dakota.
He's an awesome man of God, part of our church. Travels a lot for work. He's in San Jose, California right now, up in Northern California. So great to have Dakota on here and quite a few other friends. Someone from Brandon, Florida.
Yeah,
I don't know where Brandon, Florida. Florida is one of Pastor Heather's favorite states.
What, Florida?
Yes.
I love Florida.
She loves going to the beaches in Florida.
Yeah.
So we have people from sea to shining sea joining us today.
So we hope you were blessed. If you have any kind of comments or any more questions, you can feel free to leave them in the comment section. And I feel like we should pray.
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, you always want me to pray.
You pray.
Okay. Lord, we just thank you so much for your wisdom, for your word, God. We just thank you for this time that we could sit and just sit under your word and just gain understanding, Lord. And we just thank you that you're going to help us remember not to take every day for granted. We're going to remember that each day is a gift. We're going to remember to put you first and just remember that your presence is with us constantly everywhere we go, giving us wisdom and helping us order our day and ordering our time. Lord, and we just thank you so much for just, you know, just dying on the cross for us to make a way for us to have peace, a life of peace and a life of abundance. Lord, and we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, okay. Well, guys, this has been so much fun, and we can't wait to see you next Monday. And, hey, you should share this with a friend. Just hit the copy button. You can text it to somebody. You can share it if you're watching on Facebook, and we will see you again soon.